This time we're going to open up God's Word. It's our scripture is going to be Luke chapter 2. Your bulletins say 8 through 10. We're actually going to read 8 through 20, and it's Pew Bible page 1591. Starting in verse 8 and reading to verse 20. This is the word of the Lord. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. The word of the Lord. May he bless it to the hearts of his people. In the evening, this Advent season, we've been doing a topical sermon series based on the theme of the light of the world. Christ said in John chapter 8, verse 12, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." So we've been looking at how Christ is the light of the world, and how him being the light of the world affects us today. That's why we're looking at Luke chapter 2 today, this evening. The events that we just read in Luke's account, the birth narrative, occurred following Mary and Joseph's travel to Bethlehem, and then them going into the manger, or the shed, or the animal storage place, a little cave in the side of a rock. And she just gave birth to the incarnate Son of God. And that's where we find ourselves here in our passage, where it tells us in verses 8 and 9, "And in the same region," that is, the same region of Bethlehem, the same region where Christ was born, "there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night, and an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them." That's our light this evening. "And they were filled with great fear." We're introduced to these shepherds who have been chosen by God to receive the blessing of having the good news that Christ has been born proclaimed to them first among all people. We see in this a picture of the heart of God. Scriptures tell us God gives grace to the humble. He opposes the proud. Jesus said it like this during his years of ministry in Matthew chapter 11. He said, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding, and you've revealed them to little children." Paul says it like this in his letter to the Corinthians. He says, "Consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. This is what God is doing on the night of our Savior's birth. Now, if the King of the world, the Creator of the world, were to be born among you, and God would have known that this was going to happen from all time, who do you think you would be telling today? Let's put it in today's context, okay? If the King of the world was going to be born in South Holland, that would be spread on Facebook, on Twitter, notified every news station. The mayor of South Holland would be told what's going on. All the prominent people in South Holland would be notified that the King of the world was being born in this humble place called South Holland. That's not what God is doing here. No, he's telling shepherds, unclean, outcasts, lowly, smelly, white-collar, poor shepherds. An interesting fact about these shepherds, though, is that the shepherds in Bethlehem were known for caring and keeping and raising sheep or lambs for a very specific purpose, and that was sacrificial lambs for the temple in Jerusalem. So here are shepherds watching over lambs that they are raising to be prepared for sacrifice, being told about the coming of the Lamb of God who is being prepared for the sacrifice for the sins of the world. And there in the dark, out, the shepherds watching over their sheep, they're interrupted on the silent, holy night with the shining presence of an angel. The first thing I want to mention here is the shepherd's reaction to this angel's appearance. It tells us they were greatly afraid. I think this is important because oftentimes during the season when we put angels on top of our trees and we've got shining angels everywhere and we put little guardian angel things in our cars and we have TV shows called Touched by an Angel and we have a lot of this idea about angels. And there's nothing wrong with that. Angels are scriptural. I get that. I understand that. It can be wrong. Like when we read in the book of Colossians, Paul talking about this false worship occurring in Colossae when they were beginning to worship angels more than the Son of God, or the book of Hebrews when the author of the Hebrews labors to let us know that Jesus Christ is greater than the angels. In fact, Jesus Christ is worshipped by the angels. And you'll have some people today say, I saw an angel. Well, this is important, okay? Because anytime anyone ever encountered an angel in Scripture, the response was always fear and trembling and awe and reverence and a deep conviction of the lowliness they possessed. Abraham encounters angels. He bowed himself to the earth. Joshua encounters the captain of the Lord's hosts, and he fell on his face. Isaiah encountered angels in the temple of God, and he said, woe is me, I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips, among a people of unclean lips. Zacharias, John the Baptist's father, encounters an angel in the temple, and it says he was deeply troubled, and fear fell upon him. When Mary encountered an angel, she was troubled. When John saw an angel on the island of Patmos, he fell on his face. My friends, it's a frightful thing to encounter an angel because an angel represents the very words of God, the very presence of God, the very glory of God. Remember what the angel said to Zacharias when he did not believe his words, because he stood in the presence of God and spoke God's words. So So if someone tells you they saw or encountered an angel, and they weren't greatly troubled by the experience, there's a good chance they didn't actually encounter an angel. But there's a reason, you know, there's a reason that messengers of God usually have to start by saying what they said in our passage tonight. Fear not, or do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord, and this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. I bring you good news. That's where we get our term gospel from. Gospel is good news. This angel proclaimed the gospel for the first time after the Savior's birth to shepherds. And this was a proclamation for all people, not just Israel, but to all nations. This is good news that a Savior is born, not a Savior from the oppression of Rome or governing authorities as they thought, but a Savior from sin. Matthew 1:21, as we've been studying in the morning with Pastor Brinks, tells us he will be called Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. This is why it's good news, and this is why it brings great joy. The one thing that separates us from God, God has come in flesh, Jesus Christ, to take care of that, and he has taken care of it. Then the angel told them something peculiar, so these shepherds would know that what he was saying was true. Now, it wouldn't have been uncommon in this time to see a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths, but it would have been very strange in this time to see a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths lying in a feeding trough for animals. That would have been strange. That would have caught someone off guard. Right after the angel announced that, an army of angels, that's what host means, an army of angels appeared in the sky. Why? To worship God. We should take note that when the angels worship God, we should worship God too. And the interesting thing is that when we look at the scriptures, it says that the angels are before the throne of God forever praising his name, and that's because God is always worthy of praise and we should always be worshiping him. They come in this moment in the sky to worship God because this moment of proclamation, good news for all people, was so profound, so pivotal, so powerful that these angels had to burst out and worship and praise to God. You think of the words of Peter who said, even the angels wish they could peer in on what God was doing in Jesus Christ. Because in the incarnation, God is glorified. God has put on flesh without making himself any less God. God has humbled himself without lowering himself and making himself any less God. He has redeemed men without nullifying his perfect sense of justice. And in the book of Romans, Paul tells us that now he can be both just and justifier. Glory to God in the highest earth. Peace toward those on whom his favor rests. What's the reaction to this host of angels praising in the sky? Verse 15 and 16 tells us, when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. The consensus was unanimous. After what they had just seen, after what they had been told, they had to go see what all the commotion was about. They were all in agreement that this was not something they wanted to miss out on. In fact, that they knew that this was something God wanted them to be witnesses of. Hence the reason for the angel's message. These simple shepherds knew that this was something the Lord had made known to them for a purpose. And verse 16 tells us, that they made haste. They didn't tarry. They left immediately to go and to look upon their Savior. I think we should learn something from them as well. We should not tarry and go into our Lord. We should make haste in bringing him praise and coming to him for rest and for worship and to ask for forgiveness. The good news which was proclaimed to them translated into immediate action. That's what we need to understand. The gospel told to them turned into a response. And surely just as the angel had said, proving the veracity of God's word, there they came and found our Lord and our Savior wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. Continuing in our passage in verse 17, it says, and when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child, and all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. The second thing that we can learn from the shepherds' response to the angel's message was this: the good news was so good that they couldn't keep it to themselves. Now, I don't know about any of you, but I know that, you know, in the Chicago area, we can have a divide, White Sox fans, Cubs fans, or whatever. But I know that if you have some family or some friends that were Cubs fans, it probably didn't take them very long before they told you that they won the World Series, right? Because to them, that was good news. They wanted to tell you, you know what? I bet they're still telling you that they won the World Series, right? Because good news is meant to be shared. Good news is meant to be told. Good news is so good, you cannot keep it to yourself. Yet when it comes to the good news of Jesus Christ, we so often do this, don't we? But these shepherds, they went into the busy, overcrowded little town of Bethlehem in the middle of the night, making widely known all they had heard and been told about this child. Capital C, these shepherds were overwhelmed by the grace God had poured upon his people by giving them his son, a son that God had promised would save his people from their sins. Man, that would have been wonderful. Man, that would have been glorious. Much more glorious than seeing the Cubs win the World Series would be to see the expression on the shepherd's face when they saw the little baby that would save them from their sins. In fact, all those who heard were amazed by what they heard, even from shepherds who, in this time, weren't even counted as reliable witnesses in court. The conviction with which these shepherds must have been sharing their experience had to have been tremendously powerful. But let me suggest something to you here. If these shepherds could be this passionate on the night of our Savior's birth, how much more passionate should we be to share all that has been told to us? They knew that this child was important, that he was somehow prominent, that he was a king, and that he had been born among them, and it was amazing, it was wonderful. But we know about his birth, yes, about his life, yes, about his death, about his burial, about his resurrection and his promised second coming. The sin has been taken care of. We look back on that now. Death has been conquered. And one day all will be made right. Yet, so often we don't even get excited about this good news. So I pray that we would grow in our passion and conviction to proclaim the gospel, the good tidings, the good news, just as the angels and shepherds did the night of our Savior's birth. And you know what the greatest way to stir our passion and our love and our desire for others to hear the good news is? It's to reflect on how God saved us. It's to remember God's grace in our own lives, to do as Mary did, to keep all these things and to ponder them in our hearts. Oh, if we could only think on the incarnation of Christ, his perfect example of submission and humility, his death on the cross for us, and his conquering over death to ensure for us a future resurrection, all of which we do not deserve. Keep these things. Ponder these things in our hearts. Reflect on them. Cherish them. Renew our minds with them. Set ourselves apart by them and be emboldened and impassioned by them. Then go and tell others about this Lamb of God who came to take away the sins of the world, who took away my sin, who died for me. Never stop being changed by the gospel. In our final verse in today's passage, and the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. You know, it amazes me that going out and spreading the good news throughout the town, they returned glorifying and praising God for everything they had been told and heard and seen. Are you guys glorifying God this Christmas season? Are you praising him for all the things you've seen and heard? Are you continuing to return to Christ for strength and rest as the shepherds did? Who is your hope found in? What is your hope found in? For you also have had good tidings proclaimed to you. You also have experienced the glory of the Lord all around you in the light of Jesus Christ, the light of the world, full of grace and truth. The question is, what will you do with it? What Christ would say to you is, fear not. Do not be afraid. The sin that has so long separated you from God, he has paid for on the cross of Calvary. Fear not, do not be afraid. If you would only come and be washed by the blood, though your sin be as crimson, you shall be washed white as snow. Brothers and sisters who have been redeemed, do not be afraid. Fear not. Christ has come. He has died. He has resurrected. And he will come again. Amen. Let's pray. God, we thank you for this evening. We pray that you would bless us as we continue in our worship, that you would bless these words to our heart, but that we would also be able to worship you and glorify you through our Sunday school program. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.